Welcome to the Christian Bible Church Podcast, where the weekly preaching ministry of the Christian Bible Church can be heard. For more information about the Christian Bible Church, please visit us on our webpage at christianbiblechurch.us.
Let's take our Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy, Paul's last letter that he ever wrote on this earth. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. You know, we are approaching a new year and none of us knows exactly what's going to happen internationally, nationally, personally, whatever may befall us. And so I want for this Sunday and next Sunday to prepare us for a new year. You know, none of us knows the future. None of us knows what's going to happen, but we have to be prepared to face the unknown, the unexpected, and so we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. It's one of those great statements of the Apostle Paul. You know, it's amazing to me as you read through the letters of the Apostle Paul. You know, he's writing along, giving some general information and instruction. But then, you know, as he's writing, he encapsulates in one or two verses such profound truth and thought. And, you know, I was thinking this morning, you know, if we compared our Bibles, how many of us would have some of those same verses underlined or colored in our Bible? Because they are profound. These statements, and this is one of those, one of these great, profound statements written by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him unto that day." Now, how many have that verse underlined or marked? You know, it's one of these great encapsulations of the gospel and what the gospel is and what the gospel does. I've committed unto him. And that's certainly his, Paul's eternal soul unto that day. All right, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Father, we ask that you would speak to us. We live in a world that is full of fear and anxiety and uncertainty, and we don't know what the future is going to hold, what's going to befall us. But Father, we thank you that you have given a verse such as this, that we can be prepared for the unknown, for the unexpected, for those things and events in our life that where it shakes us and the whole bottom drops out. And we are perplexed and we don't know what to do or where to turn. But we have this instruction. And we pray, Father, that you would apply this verse and this truth to our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I think as we consider our world and our life in this world with its uncertainties, its cares, its problems, the anxiousness that characterizes our society, I think it is good for us to look at a verse like this so that we can be anchored and prepared for whatever may come in our life or around our life. And what the Apostle Paul is doing here by his own personal experience is showing us how he faced life, how he faced the unexpected, how he faced the unknown. And you notice that when we think of the context of this letter, that Paul is facing certain martyrdom. As he says in chapter 4, that he's ready to depart. His departure is at hand. And so he is writing this to show us how he himself, in all that he experienced in life and all that he endured in life, how he faced it. And as we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, one thing is certain as we look at it is that the Apostle Paul did not just get by in life. He didn't try just to make the best of life and the best of things, but he is one that was more than a conqueror. He is the one that lived his life triumphantly and victoriously in this life. And so the question we have to ask is, how did he do this? How is he able to rise above life? Now, Paul is writing to Timothy, and Paul knows he is going to leave this earth for glory, and he is thinking not of himself. He's not thinking about how bad he has it. He's not feeling sorry for himself at all, but rather he is thinking of his young son in the faith, of Timothy. And he knows Timothy is fearful and anxious. You look at verse 7, and here is another one of those great statements. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, when we read that, we have to assume immediately that Timothy is fearful. Fearful about the future. What's going to happen? There is so much uncertainty in Timothy's life. Once the Apostle Paul leaves this earth, what is he going to do? What's going to happen to him? And so he has all this anxious care in his life. So Paul is writing to Timothy, and in this great 12th verse, letting Timothy know exactly how he himself faced life, how he endured life. Look again at verse 12. Here the Apostle Paul says, for this reason, I also suffer these things. For this reason. Now, what reason is that? Well, it is not because he's an evildoer, a lawbreaker. It is because he's an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has been persecuted and he is put in prison. He has been beaten, shipwrecked. He has gone through all sorts of calamities simply because he was a preacher and an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. For these things I suffer. For this reason I suffer these things. That is, his persecution, his imprisonment, his deprivation, all the torture that is implicated in his imprisonment. And so Paul is showing to Timothy, and by the inspired word of God, Paul is showing us how to rise above life. And I think all of us are concerned about this, that we do not want life to master us. We don't want the circumstances of life to master us. We don't want to be the victim of the circumstances of life. When evil befalls us, hardship befalls us, whatever befalls us, we don't want to be in a position that we are at a loss. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. We don't know what's going to happen to me. We don't want to be in that position. And so what the Apostle Paul is showing us here is how we can master life, how we can rise above life, how we can be victorious over life, no matter what life may bring us. And that is Paul's concern for us and for young Timothy. And Paul is concerned that we respond to life in such a way that it brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, Paul says, I am not ashamed. And that's a wonderful statement. I am not ashamed. He is not discouraged. He is not despondent. He is not disillusioned. He is not in despair. He has risen above life. And as we're going to see this morning, that there is nothing in the Apostle Paul himself, in his constitution, in his nature, in his temperament, in his abilities, that allowed him to do this. But rather, it is all based upon a person. You notice in verse 12, and we have to realize this, and look at again verse 12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not discouraged. I'm not disappointed. He does not feel that Christ has failed him. He doesn't feel like the promises of God have failed him. He is not disappointed. He is not disillusioned. I am not ashamed. Now notice this, and you should underline this. For I know whom I have believed. You notice the Apostle Paul does not say, I know what I believe. Now let me say again and emphasize is that we have to know truth. We have to know doctrine. But doctrine is useless when it is separated from a person. You know, I know whom I have believed. Because our doctrine is useless. Our doctrine is powerless if it is not infused by the power and the presence of Christ. And this is what enables us to get through life, no matter what happens to us in life. That is Paul's concern. That is what Paul is anxious about as he writes to this young son in the faith, to Timothy, that he is not at a loss. He is not in despair. He doesn't think it's all over for him now. And so we want to look at this. And if you look at the back of your bulletin, there's four points we want to consider this morning. And the first one is the acid test. As we look at this verse, we have to ask ourselves this question. Does it work? You know, people are pragmatic. And you watch some of the commercials on television, and they'll have personal testimonials. And they'll tell you about this product, whatever it is, how it helped them, how it benefited them. You see, they're trying to tell us that this product works. Now, what the Apostle Paul is going to affirm to us is that this view of life he has, this understanding of life that he has, it is something that works. It works when the bottom has fallen out. You know, we can be on top of the world and we can be singing when everything is going good, when we are blessed, when we are having the sunshine on us and everything is going our way. And we think life could not be any better. Now, anyone can sing when they are being blessed in that way. But what happens when the bottom drops out? What happens when everything has turned against us? When we are facing adversity and trouble and hardship and trials, what then? Where are we then? You see, the Apostle Paul, his secret is this. He has learned to live independent of life. And that is the thing we have to learn, is we have to live independent of life. We can't depend upon life to bring us happiness and joy and satisfaction and contentment, because the circumstances of life always change. It may be good and beneficial one day, and the next day comes adversity and problem. You think of Job in the Old Testament, that ancient figure. Here he is, he gets up one morning, and he thinks about all that he has, all that he possesses. He thinks how blessed he is, and the scripture tells us that he was an upright man. He shunned evil. He feared God. And that day he woke up, he realized that one of his children was having a birthday party. And so he prayed as the priest of his family that none of them would sin against God. And in that day, he was expecting joy and happiness. That day, the birth of a child, they were celebrating. And we know the story. One after the other, all these messengers came. And in an instant, his life was changed. He lost everything. He lost all his wealth. He lost his children. How did he respond? What did he do? Chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21, these are words that slay me. He said this, "Naked I came into this world, and naked I shall go back. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How could he do that? How could he have such a doxology when he had suffered so much loss? It is this. He lived independent of life. He said, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away." You see, we have a certain perspective of life. The things that we enjoy in life are borrowed. God gives them to us for a time, for a season. And then by his sovereign will or choice, he may take them back. See, I came into this world naked. I'm going out the same way. You see, these things of life I enjoy, they're just borrowed. They're not mine to keep. And that's what we have to do. We have to learn to live independent of life. And the claim that the Apostle Paul makes is that the only way that we can live independent of life is to know this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know whom I have believed. And you think about the various philosophies of life that people try to live by. You think about, for example, the Stoic. You know, the Stoic is this. I've got to be tough. I've got to be strong. I can't allow the circumstances of life to bend me or to affect me. You think of this, that every philosophy, every teaching, every view of life is this, that it depends on me. I have to do something. I have to do this. I have to do that. Not so with the gospel and the Christian position. And why? Because it is not dependent upon me. It's dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I know whom I have believed. And this is the one that gives me power to face life. I know whom I have believed. And this is what Paul says. This is what works. And the gospel is the only thing that unites us to a person, to a living person, to a glorified person. And I am infused with his power and his presence. And because I am, I know absolutely that no matter what I face in life, what uncertainties come, whatever befalls me, I know this. I know a person. I'm in union with a person. He is in me and I am in Christ. And this is what makes this work, to rise above life. Paul didn't do it on his own. Paul did it because he was possessed by a person. I know whom I have believed, and I have committed unto him. That's the acid test. Does it work? And yes, it does work when we are infused with the power and the presence and the indwelling of the Son of God. The second thing is the affirmation. And what Paul affirms here is this, that it is nothing but the gospel that is able to do this. There's no other teaching, no other religion, there's no other philosophy that is in competition with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the consistent testimony of Scripture is this, is that Christ is the only Savior, and Christ is the only way to God, and Christ is the only way by which we are able to face life triumphantly and victoriously. You think of the claim of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you think of the claim of the apostles, and you think of the claim of the Apostle Paul himself. Remember, Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. You think of Peter in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, where he says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name on earth among men, under heaven, given among men by which we must be saved. And you think of the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed, there's that word again. I'm not disappointed, I am not disillusioned in the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now the Apostle Paul, as he labored and ministered for the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw many come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw many whose lives were changed dramatically and drastically. And that's why he could say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. Because when you come to Christ, it changes your life. It changes the direction of your life. And that is what the Bible proclaims, and that is what we are to proclaim, that there is only one Savior, and there is only one way to God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of the non-Christian, we ought to pray for them and feel such sorrow and pity for the non-Christian, because they are living in this world like we are, and they are groping in the darkness. They don't know where to turn, what to do. And they're at the whim of every voice that we hear. And there's such confusion and chaos. Not so for the Christian. We have a Savior. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, and his voice alone do we listen to. See, that's the affirmation of the Bible, is that there is only one way to God. And if we're going to be infused with the power of Christ and the presence of Christ, we can only do it as we have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have been united with Christ, that Christ is in us, the vine and the branch. This is the only way to face life, is through the gospel. And that's the affirmation of the Apostle Paul. He said he is not ashamed. He's not disillusioned. He's not in despair. Not because he's strong. Not because he has this view of life and understanding of life. No. He says it because he knows whom he believes. That's the only way to face life, is in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way to get his power to face life is to know Christ personally. That he is your Savior, that he indwells you, and he has changed your life. The third thing we want to look at is the application. Paul makes this profound statement, for this reason I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I'm not in despair. He's not hopeless. He's not without direction. He's not without an answer. He's not without hope. Here's the application. Is this true only of the Apostle Paul? Is he the only one that can claim this? Now you think about the Apostle Paul, and you look at ourselves, and we realize that, and we can say readily, I am no Apostle Paul. He's far above us in gifting, in service. He's far beyond us in wisdom and understanding and knowledge. You know, we do ourselves a disservice if we ever think that this is true only of the Apostle Paul. And I'm here to tell you this morning that it is not true just for the Apostle Paul. It is true for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about who he's writing to. He's writing to Timothy, his young son in the faith. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. That was Timothy. He's fearful and anxious. He's afraid. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him. You see, this is true not only for Paul, it is also true for Timothy. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy in verse 12. This is what you have to do. Is you have to know whom you believe. You think about who you believe in. Whom do you believe? Not so much just what you believe, but who do you believe? You see, that's the force and the power behind what you believe. And that's what the Apostle Paul is asserting here. You know, Paul says, for this reason, I suffer these things. What Paul is actually saying is this, that if he had never had that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 9, if he never was a Christian at all, if he had remained that staunch, fierce Pharisee, that Saul of Tarsus, he would not be suffering these things. He would not be enduring these things. But see, he answered heaven's call. You know, what Paul said in Acts 9 is so striking, where he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly calling. Not disobedient. And he, by his own choice and service of the Lord Jesus Christ, is suffering these things. And Paul is showing by his own example how to encourage Timothy, how to encourage us, how to help us. And again, it is nothing at all in regard to the Apostle Paul, to temperament, to personality. He is not the type of person that nothing gets to him, nothing bothers him. You know, some people, you know, they're like a cork. You push them down and they pop back up. And that's how some people are. Nothing bothers them. Well, Paul is not this way. This promise is not just for individuals who have a certain personality type that nothing really troubles us, and we always think, well, there's a silver lining in the cloud. No, it is for anybody and everybody who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter where you are, what your personality type is, you know, some of us have a personality where we tend more toward depression and darkness. And you know, sometimes we always think, oh, there's no hope for me. What am I going to do? You see, this is the verse for you. It's the verse for everyone who is a Christian and a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul could say this in the face of whatever he met him in his life. He didn't have to have great success and the blessing of God always on his life. No matter what befell him, whatever he went through, the persecution, the beating, the imprisonments, the deprivation, this is his testimony. I am not ashamed. I'm not disappointed. I'm not disillusioned. And that ought to be our testimony. I am not ashamed. And why is it? because we believe in a person who does not fail us, who does not disappoint us, does not let us down, never makes a false promise. For this reason, he suffers these things, but he says, I am not ashamed. Then the last thing we want to discuss this morning is the appeal. And the appeal is this. Does this describe my life? Am I facing life like this? I am not ashamed. No matter what we experience in life, or no matter what may befall us, whatever difficulty, sorrow, grief, or hardship, whatever pain, whatever disappointment, sickness, disease, death, whatever it is, can you say, as you face life with all its uncertainties, I am not ashamed. I am not disappointed. I am not disillusioned. I am not at a loss. And it goes back to this, that I know a person. You see, it wasn't in regard to Paul what gifts he possessed or what abilities he possessed, but it was more of this, who possessed the Apostle Paul? You see, that's the same way with us. No matter what we possess with talents or gifts or abilities, it's not dependent upon us. It is dependent upon Christ. You remember Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, and here again is a great statement, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He can face every eventuality in life because he knows this, that Christ will strengthen him. You know, sometimes we may go through life, go through the day, and we begin to think, what if this happens or what if that happens? You know, what if I end up, I go to the doctor and just for a checkup, an exam, it's a routine thing, and then all of a sudden I hear cancer. How are you going to respond? What are you going to do? You see, it's not in what we possess. It's in who possesses us. See, we don't look to ourselves. We don't look to the circumstances of life. We rather have to look to a person, to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know whom I have believed. And because of that, Paul says, I am not ashamed. We can be more than conquerors in life through him who loved us. That's the life of the Christian. We're not exempt from these things. No, we these things happen to the Christian, non-Christian, but our response must be different because of this. We know a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of this. The Apostle Paul, he believed the same gospel that we believe in. The Apostle Paul was indwelt by the same Christ that we are indwelt with. Paul, even though he's gifted and has outstrips all of us, let me say to you that Paul is no different than us. Paul is no better than us. We have the same Christ. We have the same gospel, and we all stand on the same footing. And it is all based upon whom we have believed. You know, it's a great hymn. I know whom I have believed. Made a great hymn out of those words. How about this morning? How are you responding to life? How are you doing in life? The wonderful thing about our Lord Jesus Christ is he does not want us to be crushed by life. He wants us to rise above life. And it's not in us to do it. It's not our ability, power, decision, our strength. We just simply rest upon a person. That's all we do. We trust a person. We rely on a person. That's all we do. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're nothing apart from Christ. We have nothing. We have no hope. We're like all men, most miserable. But we have a Savior. That's the distinguishing mark. That's what makes us different. We have a Savior. And that's what enables us to face life like we do. We thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul. And we're blessed by this word from the Apostle Paul. And we pray that we would apply this word to our life and rest peacefully in the loving arms of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Bible Church podcast. Have questions? Visit our webpage at christianbiblechurch.us to contact us. Feel free to subscribe to receive new podcasts automatically. Until next time, thanks for listening, and may God bless you.